Let me introduce the next speaker. Give me one sec. Real brief. A newcomer asked told me yesterday he had 15 days clean. He said, man, I'm so glad to be here, but I don't really know where I am. I don't really know where I am. I said, what do you mean? He said, I know in those cities, but you know, I don't really know where I am. And I thought about that. We talked a little bit, man. And I thought about that. If you take a look at that view out back, when you pick a CD for this, man, I ain't listening for hope to go here. When you pick a CD, it's not going to show you where you are. Listen, you come. You in a room full of men, recovering past, on the end of the Chesapeake Bay, this is a resort that we're in, right? We're in a resort, trying to get a message of recovery. From somebody that's got the same desire as you. That's where we're at right now. That's a beautiful thing. Listen. This guy came from West Coast, man, come up and share his experience with Spencer Cole. I'm not taking nothing away from Vindell B. came from LA, man, to come and share with y'all. Without further ado, I give y'all the lesson.
My name is Vindell. I'm an addict. Yeah. Grateful, man. First things first, I want to thank God for another day. And I want to thank Narcotics Anonymous for showing me how to live one day at a time. And thank you, Ron, for sharing your ass off. My shit ain't that funny. I want to just read one thing. I'm not a big, you know, reader throughout my whole spiel. But there's been a whole lot of stuff, man, going on. Some amazing workshops. The amazing meeting last night, my man did his thing from Washington. And I have this disease, man, that, like, you know, ego would tell me, you know, ah, shit, man, I can't share as good as him. Right, and then my other side ego will say, oh shit, I'm gonna outshare him, you know, and I'll pick and choose, and so, you know, just to shatter that shit real quick, just to shut down the disease real quick, I just want to just remind myself that everything that occurs through the course of NA service must be motivated by a more desire to successfully carry the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. It is for this reason we begin this work. We must always remember that as individual members, group service committees, we are not and should never be in competition with each other. We work separately and together to help the newcomer for our common good. We have learned painfully that internal strife cripples our fellowship. So I just want to just slam that real quick. You know, So I'm grateful to be here. I'm not really good at doing topics. It's been a long time since I did a topic, and thank God Ryan went first because he kind of let me know that it really ain't fuck a topic. We just do your thing, right? And I was kind of like a little disappointed about that, Sherman, because I had practiced the topic all week long. Oh, ain't no Me Too's on that shit, right? Y'all know y'all be sharing in the mirror as soon as you get that car, get that outfit and shit. I'm gonna kill him in this right here. Yeah. Just me. But I'm more like, you know, kind of guy, man, that just allow my spirit to lead me where it needs to go, man. And you know, I know y'all don't know me, so for qualification purpose, man, like, you know, I'm just a typical dope fiend, man. I have a famous story. My story is so famous, they wrote a whole chapter about it in the Basic Text. It's called Who's an Addict? Right? I'm the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, right? I ran around, right, in between my, you know, appointments between the county and shit, try to get my shit together. And as soon as I get my food stamp card and my little 221, I went and got loaded and you know, I tried and everything I could, man, to, like, you know, become or go back, right? Go back to like the functional, the good old days of getting high, right? My story isn't that I took my first hit and ended up homeless and ended up in jails and institutions, right? There was a time, a period in my life when using was fun, right? It was exciting, right? I remember the good old dope smoking days, right? I know some of us is too spiritual to remember the good old dope smoking days, right? But I remember the time where I was able to get with my homeboys and we put our money together and we go down to the train track and we get a big bag of reefer, right? And you know, we get zooted. We used to get zooted. They don't get zooted no more, right? We used to get zooted, right? You know, drop a pill, drink a 40, go to the house party, bug out with the girls. On the way home, we smell each other's fingers. Yeah. Right? Just. You know, half dead, mama was always gone, so we all spend the night at her house and shit, you know what I mean, and go to school Monday and laugh about the weekend. Right, just real quick, I know I only got 30 minutes and I'm gonna get into it, but I just wanna, qualify real quick, right, because like, something happened, right, like in the beginning, right, this was the high, right, and this was the consequences. And then through the progression, right, this was the high, and this was the consequence. And then this became the high, and this was the consequence. Somebody don't. And then at the end, right, this was the high, and this was the consequence. Right? And somewhere, right, without my permission, the consequence became greater than the high. Right, and my primary purpose, right, my whole goal was to flip that scale back upside down. I just knew somebody, right, in these classes, we used to call it, right, in them classes, them drug classes, right, was going to show me how to use successfully. Right, I'm like you, Ron, like I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous at 19 years old, right, and I ran in and out between 19 and 24, and I was going to meetings, and motherfuckers had coffee mugs with their name on it and shit, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, they were saying things like, bro, I spilled more dope than you ever smoked, and, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, it's like, well, I can't do this. So with that came a whole lot of pain. Whole lot of pain and like I did like practice a little bit for the topic, right? So that was a joke, man. I didn't really practice, man. Right? But we're talking about men under construction, right? And I didn't even know, like, even right in the stages of active addiction, right? And even in the stages of relapses, like God was constructing something in my life. Right, I'm saying that like I had to go through everything that I went through so that I could be everything that I am today. Right, I'm telling you that like I grew up right here in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, man. I came here, I surrendered at 24 years old, I'm 45 years old now, man. Everything I know about life today, I learned from the men in Narcotics Anonymous. Right, I didn't like the construction process. Right, I couldn't understand when I was in it. Right, I couldn't, you know, I was at a disbelief. Right, that my life appeared to be right consumed with loneliness and anger and shame and guilt and emptiness, and I couldn't understand why I had to do the demoralizing things just to get one more. Right, I had no idea that God had something in store for me. You know, and so, like, coming, getting clean and going through the phases, right, of life and trying to learn how to go from a boy to a man, right, like, that was troublesome for me because, like, I still had the mindset, right, that I know every motherfucking thing. I don't know if anybody got any 19-year-olds in their house. I don't know how old your kids is, whatever, right, but you can't tell them shit at 19. You know what I'm saying? Right? You couldn't tell me I was a hard-headed addict. Right? And I thank God that I got here when I got here because I needed that sit down, shut up, Pick up some cigarette butts. Why you always sharing? You ain't got shit to say. I needed all that shit, man. So I come to understand, man, that like now with clean time, right? I come to understand that in the construction process, right, we could get one level of it done, right? We could get, like, you building a house and you get the living room done, right? And my disease, right, it allows me to be satisfied with just a little bit. You know, I mean, I can't see the upstairs being done, right? I got the living room done, I'm good. You know what I mean? So I get a few days, you know, over some change for a bus pass, right? And I'm not thinking about using no more, right? And I'm not really tripping no more. Like, I'm good. I don't need to keep going back to those meetings. Only to continue to, like, set myself up for some more pain. And I just ran in and out, man. I ran in and out. You know, and I'm really grateful, right? I'm really grateful, right, that, like, we're talking about, like, you know, men under construction, right? I'm really grateful to come to understand that the construction process is an ongoing process, right? Even with clean time, right? Even, like, with living all four sides of the symbol, right? Even with the understanding and the application to the spiritual principles, which is embodied in the step, I thank God that the construction process is ongoing, right? Because I'm telling you that once I believe that the construction is complete, I ain't coming back to Narcotics Anonymous. I don't come here to hang out with you motherfuckers. I come here because I know my life is on the line. I come here because I know, man, that, like, once I believe that the coast is clear, right, once I think that it's all good now, once I believe that I got it going on, right, once I think that I got this thing, I'm done. I'm clear. I love Narcotics Anonymous to death. I eat, sleep, and shit Narcotics Anonymous. Right, I believe in the principles. I do all the things that you guys taught me, right? But believe me, I'm telling you, like, once I think I got this thing, man. Right? And it's amazing, right? The transformation, right, in that process, right, was like, you know, after the desire to use has been lifted, right? Because, like, I know I gotta keep coming back, but I need to say, like, I ain't tripping on getting high no more. Like, you can't razzle and dazzle me with that bullshit. Right? That shit, I laugh. Get high, nigga, you tripping. Right? But I understand, right, that I have these behaviors, right, that's associated with using, right? I understand that it's never been the drugs that led to the behaviors, but always been the behaviors that led to the drugs. And I understand, man, that I'm equally powerless over the behaviors that I exhibit. And at some point, I may find myself back into a corner. So I keep coming back so I can continue to learn how to live. Because I got a real, listen, I'm one of those dudes where I don't want to, like, use dope no more, but I want to look like a dope dealer. You know,
I'm a tower.
Right? I want to stay caught up in the illusion. Right? I want to continue to live in this fantasy, right? I lived in a fantasy. You was talking about, you know, when you got arrested or whatever, right? And it took me back. Listen, my last arrest, I got arrested for half a nickel. And I'm telling dudes on the yard, man, I was doing real big things, man. You know, they kicked in the door, man, and we had like four keys on the table, man. You know, I just went for one of my bitches to come get me, man. You know what I'm saying? Give me a cigarette. In a girly magazine. So listen, man. Under construction. And thank you, Sherman, and this committee, and the hosting area, man. This is amazing. My man was talking about the ocean and shit, and I was sitting out back and I was looking at it, and it was so overwhelming, right? I wanted to drop a tear and take a selfie, but I didn't want y'all to think I was a punk. So I put the mask on, you know what I mean? But when they called me and asked me to do the men's rap, you know, it's only really two things to talk about at a men's rap, and that's romance and finance. You know, and I fucked up in both of them, you know. And then he called me back and he said, man, we got a topic and this and that third and this men under construction. I thought, whoa, that's deep, Barry. That's real right there. And I got to like, you know, get on my sponsor and we talk about some things. And what I come to understand is that, like, you know, I'm clear that, like, you know, my God, the God of my understanding, man, is the boss, is the big boss, right? But sometimes, like, he'll hire like a foreman, right? You know what I mean? And he'll anoint somebody, right? I'm not gonna go to the, you know, the other church thing, but don't beat me up in the lobby, right? But sometimes he'll anoint people in your life, and ordain people in your life, right, to be the foreman, and you know, and in that process, right, I was unable, right, to see who God put in my life to reconstruct me, right? I was going through some things, and I knew there's a change that I wanted to make, right? I had developed in my area, right, I was the N.A. ho, right? Come on now, right? Right? I was the N.A. ho, and like, so, like, my hormones was all fucked up, right? You know, because I understand that, like, you know, once you start using dope, your brain stops growing. And I started getting high at 10 years old, right? And I came to Narcotics Anonymous around 19 or 20 years old, right? And so I had the mindset of a 10-year-old, right? And then I relapsed and I went out and I came back at 24 years old. And so at 25 years old, your brain stops growing whether you're using drugs or not, right? So at 25 years old, man, I stopped using drugs, my brain stopped growing, right? And I still had the mindset of a 10-year-old, and then I was able to put 5 years together clean, right? So at 30 years old, I had the mindset of a 15-year-old, right? And I'm not justifying or rationalizing my behaviors. What I'm saying is that, like, I had an adolescent mindset, right? And it was something, I was horny than a motherfucker, right? And so, like, the women, right, the women, they was giving me hugs, and every time I get these hugs, right, these neurotransmitters go off in my mind to release these dopamines, right, that gave me the bubble guts, and I felt like, oh my God, I'm about to get one, right? There was a point of pleasure was happening to me, right? Something was going on that reminded me, right, of the pleasure that drugs had gave me. Right? Something was going on in Vindel, right? I don't know what it was. I couldn't go to the dances, right, without, you know, getting something, making a hit, right? I couldn't go to the meeting without, you know, a men's meeting? Fuck that, right? Right? Listen, what I'm saying is I couldn't live and enjoy life as other people do. I had to have something different, even with clean time. So anyways, long story short, man, so I had this thing for, you know, women. I was, you know, getting my swoop on, right? And for a long time, I thought it was okay. You know, I thought it was cool. And they used to tell me things like, man, you know, you leave the newcomer alone. Like, newcomers need love too. You know? Therapeutic value, one addict helping another and shit. And I go to meetings, right, and I, you know, I have two or three in the meeting, and I'm trying to hit on the fourth one, and, you know, all that old crazy shit, and I go to the podium, you know, and I'll share, you know, at least I ain't using no dope. You know what I mean? Ain't nothing wrong with getting a little poo-poo. And what happened, right, and I'm going somewhere with this, bear with me, right, and what happened is that, like, the backseat of my Tahoe became my new dope spot. And I began, right, through the progression, men's rap, fuck it, right, through the progression, right, I began to feel the same emptiness loneliness, sadness, shame, and guilt after I bust a nut as if I just took a hit. I'm talking about... I'm talking about, like, it became more exciting seeking and trying to find than it did actually, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying with that, right? Than actually getting it, right? And like, I live in this town called, you know, Palmdale, and I recover in Los Angeles, and it's a good 45-minute drive, right? And like, on the way home, right, I'll be crying, and you know, and I get home, and I can't sleep, I can't get comfortable, I want more time with clean time, I'm at a dis-ease within myself. So the reconstruction process, right? So I had made this decision that I'm a fall back, you know, I'm a chill out, and you know, I'm gonna stay away from my area. I'm gonna go to another area and get recovery, and you know, all that shit, right? And so I started doing that, and everything was going good in my life, and I had a little bit of peace, and then she walked in. My flavor. Light, bright, dim, and white. Cute in the face, thick in the waist. And then instantly, right? Now, prior to this, I'm praying. I'm calling my sponsor every day. You know, I'm humble than a motherfucker, right? And instantly, all that went out the window. And we was in an area that I really don't go to that much. We call it a baby area, so it's like, you know, they got missed messages, and, you know, the most amount of clean time is like a year, you know what I mean? And so it's like an area that, you know, I'll go to support what I need to, but to go get fed, I go somewhere, you know, go to my own area. But anyway, long story short, I'm at this meeting, and she's there, and I'm chasing her, and I became the secretary of that motherfucking meeting. So, I'm trying to do this quick. So anyways, long story short, man, like I step to her, you know what I mean? I put my biggest Mac on, and I step to her, and I get in her ear, and she shoot me down. So now I'm bringing flowers to the meeting. I'm bringing my CDs and shit to the meeting. You know what I mean? And I'm, the chase is on. And I'm like, what's happening? You know, why you acting like that? Woo-dee-woo-woo-woo. And she said, listen, bro, I'm new. And right now, I'm at a place where I want to just get with the women. And I wish I could tell you that that stopped me, but it didn't. So anyways, I chased her for a few months, right? And she finally, you know, let me get the number, and we talking, and then she finally let me take her out, right? And some months, I think like a cool 6 months has passed, right? And I realized that in that 6 months, right, because I was focused, man, right? In that 6 months, I haven't did anything else with anyone else. I haven't slept with anybody. My side ones was tripping because I ain't been calling and all that stuff. Right, and we finally went out, and I just knew I had this thing back in those days where, like, once I get you in the Tahoe, that's a wrap. So I got her in the Tahoe, and she shot me down. So long story short, man, I ended up marrying her ass. Once I got her, I was like, I ain't letting your ass go. No, I ain't chasing you no goddamn more. And we're talking about the reconstruction process, right? And she became the foreman in the blueprint. She became the rock of my life, right? And like, I love my wife to death. I love the way my wife's shit smells when she's taking a shit. I like to just sit in the bathroom with her like, damn, you smell good, baby. Right? What are we talking about? My man touched on the first step a little bit, right? And what I was able to get in touch with is like, you know, it took a minute, right, for me to convince my wife it's okay to love me, right? And I was loving on her, and then I was giving her everything, right? And what I found out in the first step is that I could do that real good. But once you tell me you love me, then I run. Right? And so when we got to that point, right, reconstruction, right, we got to that place and all this fear kicked up, right, and all these uncomfortable feelings kicked up, right, and like I was able to go to that fourth step, right, and in that fourth step, right, I reconnected with Cortisa. I know y'all know Cortisa, but let me tell you about Cortisa. Cortisa, that bitch in fourth grade that broke up with me. And then the next day, she having lunch with one of my homeboys. And I love the hell out of Cortisa. That was my boo. We was going to get married. I asked her to marry me when we was in fourth grade. And I put this wall up, man, at a young, I'm talking about B.C., before crack. I put this wall up, right? And like, I vowed that I would never not allow myself to get that close or allow anybody else to get that close to me ever again because I don't want to be hurt. So after the chase, right, and after all the flowers and after all the things that I was doing to like actually get her to love me, once she finally started loving me, I began to feel uncomfortable and I began to feel some familiar pain, right, and I wanted to go to a familiar place in my life, right, but I love her so much and I really want this to work. Oh, God, I don't want to be like this, but like I just need one to ease the pain. And I'm not talking about like one hard, one white, one green, one drink. I'm talking about one fix in the back of my truck just so I know that I got this. And the thing I love about it so much is that like my wife, I have a wife that understands, right, my disease, right, and understands my struggles, right, My sponsor taught me, like, early on, man, like, to get in touch with some honesty, right? And he taught me that, like, there's a difference between being honest and telling the truth. And he said, Vindal, I need you to understand that, like, telling the truth is telling on your actions, and being honest is telling on your thinking. And this is so important because our literature says that honesty is the antidote for disease thinking. So, Vindal, when you share your honesty, what you do is spreading light on the disease, right? Because we have a disease that hides in darkness, but dies through the exposure of light. So once you be honest and tell somebody about that thought process, we can get to it before the obsession kicks in. So I shared this with my wife. So I gotta be honest and tell you what I'm thinking. So we got this strip in LA. So long as like, say, 40th to like 110th. We call it the Hostro. Right? So I called her one night and I said, babe, I'm thinking. She said, okay, where you at? So I'm on the stroll, just cruising, coming from the meeting. She said, okay, stay on the phone with me. Get on the freeway. Call me when you get off the freeway. I said, okay, cool. So we stayed on the phone, and I'm strolling through, and they looking good. And I'm counting my money at every light, splitting it up, putting the money over here and money over here and shit. And I get close to the house, and I call her back. I said, I just got off the freeway. She said, okay, which way? Where we live, we got a little small strip, but nobody really be out there late at night. She said, which way you coming? I said, I'm coming down I, just not there. She said, okay, bye. So I'm driving down I, I'm almost home, and then I see one. It's dark. The streets are pretty white out. I look, I'm on this side, she on this side. I was like, damn. Bust a U-turn, creep up on her, and it's my wife. Barry, I said, baby, what the fuck is you doing? 5 minutes, okay. She said, do I know you? I said, what you doing, man? She said, you the police? I said, oh shit, okay. I said, how much for a good time, baby? She said, $100. I said, well, good, get up on in here with your fine ass. She got in the car, Ron, and we drove out in the desert, and we made love, and we did the thin thing, and it was amazing. And she said, okay, give me my $100, nigga. I gave her the money. We went home, and we talked, and she said, listen, baby, I'll be anything you want me to be. She said, I'm your wife, and I got you. You don't need to be in them streets. You got everything you need right here in the house. That's the kind of wife I have. And that's a direct result, though, of me taking a chance and practicing some spiritual principles, such as honesty, courage, you know? So I'm grateful, man. I'm gonna share one quick story, and I'm gonna get out of here. I believe, me personally, that there's two sets, right, of step work that we work, right? I believe that there's a drug, a disease, and infected step work that usually happens like in the first 7 years. You know what I mean? You get to that fourth step, and it's all anger. You know what I mean? It's all like, man, that's their fault. I ain't do shit, right? And then there's like a recovery-based step work that we work. It's a little bit more humble and a little bit more peaceful, right? So in my first go-around with the fourth step, right, it was all anger. And I was talking about my dad, right? And I was, you know, I ain't seen that motherfucker since I was in kindergarten. And he left and this and that and the fifth, right? And there was so much anger in there. And I'm writing about it, right? But secretly, I'm trying to find him, right? I'm trying to search for him, but I'm still angry. Oh, shit. Did I say something wrong? They cut me off. Okay. Can y'all hear me? Right, so like I'm writing, I'm doing all this writing about my dad, right, and like I'm so angry, and but I'm still trying to find him, and I can't find him. I'm getting frustrated, and then I say fuck it, I let it go, and some time went by, and I go into another fourth step, and it's a little bit more humbler now, right? It's a little bit more ease, right? And like I'm still trying to find him, but really I like kind of like just kind of gave up on it, and I kept coming back in my fourth step, and kept coming back in my fourth step, and something what happened is that at some point that last fourth step, man, became like a real peaceful fourth step, and I begin to like pray for my dad, right? And all of a sudden, man, I found this amazing forgiveness for my dad, right? And all of a sudden, man, like, I began to, like, understand, like what was going on with my dad. And I got into some acceptance that the shit just didn't work, right? And not knowing that this whole time, right, my wife was secretly searching him, right? She was trying to find him. And I'm like, baby, I'm okay. I'm good. And one day, long story short, she called me at work, said, babe, I need you to come right home. And I go home and she hand me this paper, right? And she said, I need you to call this number. I said, baby, who's this? She said, I found your father. I ain't seen this man in 45 years. 45 years. And had one conversation. Don't know what he looked like. And like I said, this thing happened to me in this fourth step, and I was at all this peace, and I was okay and all this shit, but soon she handed me the number, the resentment came right back. And I need to tell you that I had a speech for this man ever since I was 15 years old. And I dialed the number, and I'm ready. I'm gonna let this motherfucker have it. It's about to go down. And so he answered the phone. I said, hello, is Roy there? He said, yeah, who this? I said, this is Vindell. And he got real quiet on the phone. And he said, man, where you been? I've been looking for you. And I was stuck. And I allow this man to have this 3 to 5. I allow him to be the main speaker. And he got into his story while he started explaining without me even asking for an explanation. And as he's explaining, I begin to hear my story. And he started to use words like surrender. He started to use words like acceptance. He started to say things like, I have a man in my life that take me through this process that I'm in. He said, son, you might not understand this, but I don't live like that no more. He said, son, I'm sorry. I know you don't understand, but I got this program in my life called Narcotics Anonymous. He said, son, I want you to know that it's been 22 years since I did drugs. It's been 22 years since I ran the streets. He said, I know you don't understand what I'm talking about. So at the end of that, he said, so what you been up to? I said, shit, the same thing you been up to. So he said, I'm closing. He said, listen, man, you in Cali, I'm in Texas. You got some brother that you never met, that you don't know about. He said, man, why don't we just come out there and see you? So they came last weekend. Last weekend was the first time that I had breakfast with my father and my brother. And I'm 45 years old. Tell me God ain't good. Tell me God ain't good. Before he came, I called my mom and I said, Mom, I met your baby daddy. You know, he coming down to see me and shit. My mom lives in New York, right? And she said, you know, I'll come out there to support you. And she came out and we, you know, we sat down, we broke bread. And, you know, I've been blessed with 20 years and my mother's been blessed with 34 years and my father's been blessed with 22 years. And I wish I had time to tell you the whole story, man, but at the end of the day, man, what I'm trying to describe to the newcomer, man, that this program works, and it worked real motherfucking swell. It worked real motherfucking swell, man, and miracles can happen in your life if you allow it to happen, man. If you hear and you knew and you don't want this thing, don't worry about it, you won't get it. But if you want what we have to offer and really make the efforts to get it, man, then keep doing what we're doing, man. If nobody told you they love you today, then you're hanging out with some suckers. I love you. Thank you for letting me share.